Amen. Y'all can be seated if you desire. And I give honor to the Lord on today. I give honor to my beloved wife on today. And I just thank God for who he is and what he does. I just thank him for my foundation. Amen. And I just thank him that I, you know, something that Pastor Carter used to say, amen. And I don't think, you know, we say a lot of her sayings often, but it's one that just came back to my remembrance. She used to just talk about how peculiar God's people are. Amen. And I just thank him for sending me the way that he sent me. I thank him for 3BD. And I know that God is teaching. He's teaching me. Amen. How to pastor just each and every day he's teaching me. You know, a lot of ministries, they have full-time staffs, they have all of these things. And as I was just standing here, I was just saying, God, I'm thankful for what you have given me. And he always has a way of showing me what is important. I don't know what happened to the plug to our TV. It got here this morning. The music wouldn't play out of the computer, so I had to play it out of the phone. Just all of those things. But God always, I thank God for my brother Mark. He came in and said, go ahead anyway. Sometimes you don't have to have music. And I know that everybody wouldn't be able to go to church like this. Amen. Because they need all the things. But as I was just listening to the words of the song, God said, you're not there for entertainment. Amen. And I was trying to listen to the song to get what I needed so that I could be able to preach. Amen. Amen. But I think that sometimes we think that the show of church gets in the way of the real reason why we come to church. Amen. The show of church, right? And I know that's how a lot of people choose where they want to go. They choose where they want to go based on how it makes them feel. They choose where they go based on how it makes them feel, not on what God is actually doing. Amen. And so God has given me the title on today. I'm going to drop this word off, and then we're going to get on out of here. Amen. God has given me the title for today, Tension. Tension. Amen. Tension can refer to, I can be talking about physical tension, right? It's the state of being stretched tight, such as a rope or a muscle. That pain, that strain in your neck, in your back. Tension can be emotional. It can be psychological, right? A mental strain. You're mentally strained. You are emotionally strained, right? Demanding circumstances, you feel tension. Tension can be interpersonal. It can be relationship in your house with your wife, with your kids, with your coworkers. It's conflict between individuals or groups due to people having different opinions and different interests and different feelings, right? When you read literature, the tension, that's when you feel like something, you tense because you feel like something is on the way, something is building. Towards a climax, towards an ending, you feel that type of tension. And life has a way of pulling us tightly, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally, right? The sense that something is coming, something got to break sometime, God. Something got to change, and you feel the tension. The Bible says that the earth groans and moans, that the earth itself is under tension, right? In the last couple of sermons, I have been preaching, and is there any joy in that sermon? That whole sermon was about tension. It's about how when things don't go your way, right, you know that things are not going your way, so you feel the strain of life, but then at the same time, you know that God is good, and he's calling you to trust. He's calling you to depend. You know what you're supposed to do, even though you don't feel like doing it. That's tension. being pulled between two opposite ends, right? Life has a way of pulling us like that. We feel tense, right? We feel tense because we feel and we know that something is supposed to be happening, but we lack the control. We don't have control over what's happening, and that makes us tense. James 4 verses 1 through 3 says, "What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you?" That's talking about tension. James is talking about tension. He say all the fights, all the quarrels, all the relationship stuff, all the emotional stuff, all the feelings that's coming from the desires. James calls them evil desires at war within you. You want what you want. You want what you don't have, excuse me. So you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Amen? Amen. Not me, Pastor. Yes, you. Right? That's all of us. If I read them scriptures and you couldn't find yourself in what I was reading, you lying. You lying to yourself. You say you ain't trying to scheme and kill. We try to scheme every day to get what we want, to make stuff revolve around us the way that we want it. If you saying you don't look out and sometimes desire what other people have, whether it's to be married, whether it's to have a house or a certain type of car or to feel a certain type of way on, to go on trips or to not have to go to a job. If you look out and you say that you don't desire those things, you lying. We all have those thoughts at some point. Now, you may not dwell on them because you know that's not what you're supposed to be doing, but you can't sit there and tell me you don't think it. Right? And that's a part of the tension. You can't tell me that sometimes when you're praying, and I dare say for some of us that the majority of the time when we're praying, we praying for what we want. We have no real idea if that's the will of God. It's just what we want. Even when we pray for others, God, do this for that person and do this for that person and do this for that person. And you don't have any idea what kind of standing that person is in with the Lord while you're asking that thing. You're praying for God to deliver them, but God got them in that situation to save them because he's trying to get them to turn, right? I'm just trying to show you that we pray and we ask all of these things based on what we want. And very rarely do we consider, God, what is your will? Our prayers would be so much shorter and more effective if we prayed and asked for the will. Or if we prayed and said, God, show me your will. We just go in, do this, do that, save my sister, deliver, give them all of these things. How you know that's what God want them to have? You want what you want, the way you want it, when you want it. That's us. I want what I want, when I want it, and I want it the way I want it. Lord, I thank you. God has called me to preach in order to save souls. And in doing that, sometimes it's not, the message is not going to feel good, right? He called me to preach to save souls. In the tension that I face, that I personally face in doing the job in preaching, revolves around those verses, like revolves around what James was saying. What do you mean, Pastor, right? You want what you want, when you want it, the way that you want it. But God has charged me to preach about what he wants. So when I start preaching about what he wants, and it goes against what you want, tension. Tension between me and you. Tension in the house. Tension with your spouse. Tension with your kids. Because I'm preaching what he wants, not what you want when you want it, in a way that's going to make you feel good about it. And to tell y'all the truth, I don't even want to preach it sometimes because it causes tension. It makes me look like the bad guy. But I got to do it because that's what he called me to do. And if I didn't love him, and if I didn't love you, I would try to avoid the tension. I would just say the things that you want to hear, right? I would tell you what you want to hear. I would be the person that you want to be. If SO need pastor to be a certain kind of way, I'll be who SO need me to be. If minister need pastor to be another way, I'll be what minister need me to be. My wife need a different type of man, I'll be that type of man. I would go through life trying to please people. But the tension comes in, I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. So when I try to please God, it puts me in a fight. It puts me in conflict with people. Lord, I thank you. And it's like Brother Marcus said, how do I get over that tension? It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. It's that leaning into the Holy Spirit. It's that, Lord, not my will, but your will. It's leaning into the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. When I get ready to please people, even though the Spirit is telling me now, you know you're not right. When I see people going the wrong direction, it's the Spirit that convicts me and says, you got to step in and say something. Even if they don't like you, you got to step in and say something because it's the right thing to do. My flesh say, don't say nothing. Mind your business. Just let whatever, going to happen, happen. They'll learn. Just let them do their thing. They'll learn. That's what my flesh want to do because that's easier. That's easier for me to mind my business. But the Holy Spirit convicts me and say, you say it. If you don't say it, who else gonna say it? You say it. And if they walk away, they walk away. If you don't like conviction, I didn't say shame. I didn't say condemnation. I said conviction. If you don't like conviction, you're going to constantly live in tension. I got two choices. I can either be in tension with people or I can be at war with God. You can either be in tension with people or you can be at war with God. I choose to obey what the Spirit says so that I don't have to feel like God is upset with me or God is displeased with me or that I'm in tension with God. I say what God tells me to say so I can breathe. I did what you told me to do, God. Now it's in your hands. It's God's goodness. It's the goodness of the Holy Spirit. It's God's goodness that makes the difference. It's his goodness that brings men to repentance. One of the things that eases the tension between me and God is because I know that he's good. When I start feeling like, God, why is this thing, why are these things happening to me? What's going on? And I think about his goodness, it eases that tension. Because I say, okay, God, the only way you're making, the only reason you're allowing this thing to happen is because you're trying to bring me to something. The only reason you convicting me, the only reason you telling me about my wrong, the only reason stuff could be going left is because you're trying to make me right. Because you're good. It eases that tension. But when you don't understand how good God is, you're going to constantly find yourself at tension with him. You're going to be constantly questioning him. Why God this and why God that? You're going to be constantly finding fault in people, finding fault in the way that he does things. Because if you don't understand his goodness, you're going to think that he's out to get you. Right? It's the Holy Spirit that makes me wait, that makes me go last, that makes me want to serve, even though sometimes my flesh don't want to. My flesh say, go first, you deserve it. Right? My flesh say, you know, you already doing enough, let somebody else do it. Right? You're my flesh say, you pastor, you ain't got to clean, you ain't got to do this or do that. Right? That's what the flesh tells you. And so many people, they leaning into their flesh, even in the church house. They lean into their flesh. But that's totally opposite of what the Spirit and what Scripture tells us to do. The Word literally says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You can't come to that knowledge all by yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you to that place. So when I did that sermon, when God gave me that, is there any joy? Philippians 2 verses 3 through 5, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Tell me that don't create tension in your heart. You lying. That is tough. That creates tension in your heart. The only way that you're able to accomplish what those verses said is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to make you humble. It's going to Holy Spirit that makes you unselfish. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, God, I don't have to be the head of the show. I don't have to be in all the pictures. I don't have to be on social media. I can play the background. The only thing that makes a person want to do that, now see, a lot of people say that, but in their heart, they still desire it. It's a fake humility. I ain't got to be, you know, I just play the background. But really in your heart, when you go home, why pastor didn't recognize me? Why my boss didn't give me a shout out? I work hard too. If you got the thought in your head, you might as well act on it. Because that's what's really in there. It's in your heart. And you just because you don't talk about it or just because you don't verbalize it, doesn't mean that it's not there. As a matter of fact, that's where the tension comes from. So even though you don't verbalize it, that's why you're walking around holding grudges against people. Because you feel like you trying to do all that you can. I'm trying to live. And they blessed. Just because you don't say it don't mean you don't feel it. It's the only the Holy Spirit that can ease some of that tension. And so when I did that sermon, is there any joy? I don't need y'all. Don't confuse joy with feeling good. Because when I preached that message and I was telling y'all that Paul was writing that sermon from prison, he was in a bad situation, yet he still had joy. Too many times we confuse joy with feeling good. We strive, like we go throughout our life wanting to feel good. If you want to feel good, you need to feel God. If you want to feel good, you need to feel God. In John 21, there is this story. John 21, verses 15 through 19, and it reads, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know, I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. With this same simple question, Jesus revealed the tension in Peter's heart. Peter had denied Jesus three times. He denied Jesus three times. And when Jesus showed back up and was talking to Peter, he asked him the same question three times. And it was that third time when Peter realized what Jesus was doing. He was trying to let Peter know, I know what you did. I know you denied. You did all of that big talk, right? You was the main one talking about, I'll die if I have to die. But when the tension came, when the pressures of life came, you denied me. Right? All the big talking, all of the big acting, all of the pretending. Jesus say, I see that tension in your heart. And that's why he asked that question. He wanted Peter to know that I know what's really in there. And I'm asking you this because I'm trying to convict you. I'm trying to convict you. I'm trying to touch that place that you don't want nobody to touch. I need you to know that if don't nobody else know you, I know you. God knows us completely. And he's trying to address the hard things in our life. And I'm sorry if sometimes when I preach, if sometimes when I counsel, and sometimes when I'm mentoring or giving wise counsel, and I start touching on the hard things, I'm sorry if you feel like that's tension. But really what it is love. God is trying to address the hard things. And I preach about the hard things because he's carrying me through the hard things. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to suffer. You have to serve and you have to suffer. There's never going to be a time, this was in the sermon too, when everything is all good. If you are searching for that time, you're going to be constantly disappointed. You're going to have to learn to find joy even in the hard things. The scripture that helps me understand, I'm going to use a word on y'all. The scripture that helps me understand the hypostatic union. That is the idea that Jesus is fully man and fully God. Right? He's fully man and fully God, existing simultaneously and inseparable within one person. The scripture that helps me understand that the most, me, I'm talking about me. Somebody else might explain it another way. But the one that helps me understand it the most is Luke 22 and 42. This is when Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. When I read that verse, I can feel the tension in Jesus' heart. If my Savior was struggling, right, with the will, with the hard thing of what God was asking him to do, But he chose to do it anyway because he realized that's what he was placed here to do. I realized that I was placed here to preach. He called me. I don't know why. I don't know why me. But I know that he did it. I've got too much evidence. I've seen too much. I know that he did it. And as I walk this walk, sometimes I struggle with doing the will. But I choose to do it anyway because I know that's what I'm called to do. And the fact that my Savior can identify with how I feel sometimes, with the tension that I feel sometimes, it makes me love him anymore. He said, Lord, now, if it's in your will, let this hard thing that you're asking me to do pass, like, let it pass. Let it, like, find another way to accomplish this thing that you're trying to do. If you can save the world another way that doesn't involve me getting up on the cross, then, Lord, please do that for me. That's the human side. But he was so full of the God side that he said, not my will, your will, all the way to the cross. That's the gospel. If you desire to be free from tension and stress, you have to submit unto death. He is the example. If you want to be free from tension and stress, you have to submit unto death. You gotta say, Lord, I need the God side. I need the Holy Spirit to be stronger than this human side. I need the Holy Spirit to tell me that it's gonna be all right when I don't know where the money coming from. Because the flesh side wanna do something else. I need the Holy Spirit side to keep me in this marriage because the flesh side wanna do something else. Right? I need the Holy Spirit side to keep me going to this job so that I can provide for my family. Because the flesh side want to do something else. I need the God side to help me do the hard things. Right? I need the God side to help me do the hard things. In your response to the heart. That's why I say that scripture helps me understand who Jesus is. Because I want to tell you, your response to the hard things tell me who you are. Your response to the hard things in life tells me who you are. When it got hard for Peter, Peter denied him. It revealed who Peter really was, even though Peter was running his mouth. Your response to the hard things, what do you do when things get hard? Right? If the hard things make you depressed, that's not of God. Pastor, but you telling me I can't never be sad? No. I said your response to it. You're going to feel that sometimes. You're going to feel depressed sometimes. But it's your response to it. I'm not going to stay here even though I am here. It's your response to it. Nobody not telling you you can't feel nothing, that you got to be a robot, that you got to pretend like it's not hard. It is hard. But it's your response to it. When Elijah felt like he was the only one, what did God say? Get something to eat and take a nap. Right? And then when it got too much, God said, okay, I'm gonna send somebody that's going to take the mantle from you. Right? It's your response. Right? If the hard things make you numb, when you don't feel nothing no more, that's not of God. The hard things make you press in even further. Right? If the hard things make you immoral, right? Like Ananias and Sapphira and lie to the Holy Ghost. If the hard things make you do things that you know are not pleasing to God, it's revealing who you are. You don't have enough power, right? If the hard things make you lie, right? Like Abram lied about Sarah, if they make you lie because you're afraid, because of fear, right? If the hard things make you hide, like in the garden, something is wrong. Why are you walking in shame? Why you hiding from God like he don't see you? Because it's going to be just like with Peter. He's going to ask you them questions over and over again until it reveals what's really in your heart. And he's doing that because he's trying to convict you of something. But if you don't feel like nothing is wrong, you denying that there's tension. Right? If the hard things harden your heart like Pharaoh, you're going to drown just like he did. And the list goes on and on. Right? And if these are not the type of messages like that you like to hear, then you don't want to hear the gospel. It may seem like this is a hard message, but this is the good news, y'all. That holy side, that God side, can get you through the hard things. God allows us to choose. Read the story of Abraham and Lot. And I'm getting ready on the bed. God allows us to choose. When there is tension, read that story between Abraham and Lot. When there was tension between Abraham and Lot and their shepherds, God told them to choose. Abraham told Lot, choose what land you want. And Lot chose what he thought was better for him, even though it placed him near Sodom. Right? He chose what looked good. He chose what he wanted, when he wanted it, how he wanted it. Oh, yeah, that looked right over there. That's what Lot chose, even though it put him in a compromised position. It put him closer to the things that were not of God, but that's what he wanted, and that's what he looked good. So he chose it. And then in the verses after that, God told Abraham, look to the north, south, east, and west. I'm going to give you everything. So they had to include the part that Lot just chose. He said, I'm going to give you everything because you care more about ending the tension between you and Lot than getting what you want. There was tension between Abraham and Lot. He said, you know what? You my nephew. I don't even want this tension between us. You choose what you want. You can choose to stay here with me like we've been doing. We've been successful. Look at our cattle. Look at all the things that we have. You can choose to stay here, or you can choose to pick what you want. You go the direction that you want to go in. And I'm doing that because I would rather let you choose than to have strife. Right? And then when we, and then in the end, it will be Abraham who has to go back and plead and rescue Lot. And when we realize that what I'm preaching about, what God is trying to do for us, when we realize that that's bigger than church service and conferences and podcasts and music and how we feel and how people make us feel and what we want, when we realize that this walk, when I realize that this walk is bigger than this little room or my title or what my church looked like or all the things that I have struggled with on this journey, when we realize that this is about holiness, when we realize that all of this is about nakedness before God. What you mean nakedness before? Don't you you got to realize that God is not really concerned about adding stuff to you. He's worried about stripping stuff away from you. He's trying to simplify your life. But most of the time, we praying to get stuff added. We want more position, more money, more title, more happiness, more trips, more this, more that. He's trying to strip us down so that we back to a garden state where we are naked before him. Like, God, I don't need, all my needs are met. I don't need nothing but you. I don't, matter of fact, I don't even know that I'm missing out on something. I don't even know what I'm missing out on because I got you. They were in a state of paradise before the fall. We looking for him to add stuff. He trying to strip us down so that we, Lord, I'm naked before you. I don't have no secrets from you. You know my heart. We say that, but people don't really understand what that means when we say God knows our heart. You know my heart. Lord, I thank you. Right? So when I stand here, man, when I'm preaching or when we doing all the things that we try to do over here at 3PD, it's to get you. It's to get rid of the tension. It's to get rid of the tension. The most important thing to me is that each and every person in here has a relationship that has a bond with God so strong, can't nobody break it, including Pastor. If Pastor get up out of here tomorrow, your bond and your relationship is so strong, you got every tool you need to live. Amen. Amen. Y'all come on and give the Lord a hand.